You gotta tell me, no. What is in the perfect sandwich?
Oh, dude.
What is in the perfect sandwich? When you think of the perfect sandwich, like what popped in your mind?
All right, well,
What's in
so
there?
I fucking don't like sandwiches.
Mm.
I don't. But
Well, I was like mid-drink. I was
yeah.
like, wait, what?
You should have blew some out the nostrils for effect.
I'm not. It's just expensive now, man. Hold on to this.
So,
You
by
don't
the
like
way,
sandwiches.
Drinko de Mayo,
if you
salute,
go to
homes.
mile bam,
Cling, cling.
bam,
All
cling,
right.
cling.
No, yeah, no, I don't like sandwiches. I'm not a bread person. And, and you know what? I don't like sandwiches so much that occasionally I'll get a sandwich. And when I do, I usually get something Italian. Like, I like my salami,
Okay.
like that. What else do they put in those little, like, the sausage sandwiches where they gotta
Okay.
cut up the.
Like deli meats
It's
and
gonna be a
shit.
long fucking episode.
We
Anyways, yeah. So
started.
like that, and I like them with spice. So I like my banana peppers.
Okay,
I like some jalapenos in there.
Okay.
Salt and vinegar,
Okay.
pepper, and
For those of you listening, just write this down. It's your next Subway order.
yes, right? But yeah, I'm not as I'm. I, it's it starts with bread. I don't fucking do bread,
Really?
man.
Okay. I like sandwiches. I'm really simple, but I found that the key to a good sandwich,
All right.
Chick-fil-A sauce.
Which the orange one,
The
like the
little
Thousand
orange one.
Island,
Yep, the little
the
fucking
fancy
Chick-fil-A, the
sauce
fancy
from
sauce.
Step
So when
Brothers?
you go to Chick-fil-A and they're like, "How many fucking like sauces do
36,
you want?
bitch.
Yeah, give me everything you
Yeah,
got.
yeah.
Empty the
Did you
drawer."
say 36?
The cash? No, the Chick-fil-A
Yeah.
sauce.
You heard me, bitch.
Yeah, all that shit. Give me all of the Chick-fil-A sauce.
Would you put that on your peanut butters?
Yeah, why not?
I don't know. I'm asking.
Oh,
Asking for a friend.
You guys are gonna be my food.
Oh, we're going to town.
Downtown.
We're going to town. Town.
Yeah!
They're podcasting.
We're podcasting right now.
Social nuisance.
Social nuisance podcast. How you guys doing?
Welcome to Pound Town. Yeah, awesome.
Social nuisance.
Yeah, Social Nuisance Podcast.
Downtown!
You know, for those of you who are like, "Oh, that's gross, Chick-fil-A sauce and peanut butter," you don't know.
Yeah.
You've never tried it.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Fuck you.
Yeah, for the record. Yeah, that would be my ideal sandwich.
Just adding that sauce. You know what? Like, I don't like sandwiches at all, but for some reason, it just reminds me of this old Dave Chappelle bit that I imagine, like, what makes a sandwich best is that the person who normally sucks your dick makes it for you.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you know, all right. So the other day, I know we haven't done the intro yet.
I'm thinking about, like, you sucking my dick and then you also make me a sandwich. Like,
Yeah.
that's fantastic.
That's the perfect, yeah.
Yeah, it's a combination.
The other day, I was trying to show, like, kind of a new friend-ish, this very Christian woman, she wanted to know about our podcast. I go,
Oh,
"Oh yeah, oh
no.
this is a great episode."
You tell her to buckle in first.
Dude, buckle up. And she was like, "Well, I would like to hear something." And she actually drives for the company, so we're on our way, like halfway to San Francisco. We got hours. I'm like, "Yeah, let's totally put it in."
Oh no, what episode did you give her?
7 minutes in, I'm like, "Aah!" You know what? I'm sorry. This isn't probably you're not. You know, there's like a target, and she's like, "No, I would love to hear you finish your thoughts on that." Okay. Play again, like 36 seconds in, like, you know what? Let's just listen. Do you like Kenny G?
Was that her? You said, or she said that?
No, I said that because she loves listening to like jazz.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know
so
that.
Was she digging it?
Yeah, I think so, kind of. But she's she like is. Very proper.
Yep.
Great person. Like I'm not knocking her for anything. In case she's listening to this, you know I love you. And just like I don't think that
it's
sometimes
a target
I
audience.
realize how when I think I'm saying like a normal thing,
yeah,
how not normal it sounds to normal people.
Yeah, most people are not ready
for
these types of comments, perspectives, opinions, because they're not always popular. And I think this is a great topic to jump right into it. Our show
yes
is equally not for everybody
uh-huh
but for everybody.
It is.
You just have to come into it with an open mind.
Yeah,
because we play devil's advocate with each other all the time. We have a topic and we're like, okay, well, let me just be devil's advocate here, or let me just mix the pot a little bit and we'll throw in an alternative perspective. And I think the ability to throw alternative perspectives or furthering perspectives on a particular subject that we may or may not agree with.
Yeah.
I think
just to explore.
Yeah, to explore the dynamic of the topic at hand adds and lends to the conversation. And I think that's what's incredibly valuable about our show.
Yeah.
So for those who are kind of like, oh, there's bullshitting or they're just saying some outrageous shit, like, yes, we are.
Yeah.
How does it make you feel?
Exactly.
Please contribute to the conversation.
I want in one episode to say four or five things that people are thinking but won't have the balls to say. And I also, at the same time, want to say four or five things that they think I would have never thought about that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
hello and welcome to the intro. Solutionist Podcast, your weekly discussion of all things current requiring further insight, opinions, questions, and otherwise kick-in-your-face perspectives. I think that's the key right there. They're kick-in-your-face perspectives towards the betterment of humanity. That really is. That's what it is. That's what it comes down to.
From someone you wouldn't expect to be able to kick in your face, like maybe a midget.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they just spring up, and then, bow, and you're like, what the fuck?
I feel amazing.
I didn't expect that.
I feel enlightened. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help Pound Town grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, become a short sponsor. And we'll advertise or shout out whatever you want just by dropping a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance. My name's Imagine, and joining me as always, the one who loves to stir the pot, especially if it's a pot full of gumbo.
Yep.
Made that off the top. Motion.
And I do love it.
Thank you. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It is Cinco de Mayo.
It's Drinco de Mayo.
Drinco de Mayo. But here's the question for the generations. If you have a taco, that's not a sandwich.
No.
Because you have to constitute as a sandwich, you have to have two halves of bread.
I think so.
With stuff in between.
Yeah.
So here's the kicker.
All right.
What if your taco splits down the middle, and now you have two separate tortillas with stuff in the middle?
It's a quesadilla.
What do you have? You know, like, it's not melted cheese.
Well, no, but there's muletas, which is like basically a quesadilla with other stuff.
Yeah.
But here's what it is. What it is it's you're looking for a torta. A torta is a taco sandwich, basically.
But you don't have a bread on the bottom and bread on the top.
You do.
On tortas?
Yeah. So what it is
what am I thinking of then?
It's like a little loaf, and it's split down the middle, but it's not cut all the way, so the juices won't spill out the bottom.
What am I thinking of? It's a crustable.
A crustable?
Yeah, the Uncrustable.
Well, if Crustable's not a fucking sandwich, I don't know what is, brother. But the Mexican torta,
that's
the sandwich of Mexico.
Oh man, Daisy and I just found out that there's a taco company group catering, whatever the fuck, I don't know. There's this.
Are you talking about the one right outside the studio?
Down the street,
dude.
They occupy this fucking vacant lot.
Yep.
By all means.
Uh huh.
No one's doing anything with the lot, so please set the fuck up and sell some tacos.
Well,
and they are so good.
Oh, you did it! You finally stopped.
We finally went. So it's great. They're within walking distance.
Yeah.
So it's like we grab the baby, grab the stroller, and we go for a little family walk down to the local taco place. And
who was steering this walk? Who was kind of like, well, we should make a left right here?
That's usually
me. Was the goal to go get them?
Oh, no, the goal. We were like, oh, no, we're going for a walk to go get
tacos. Oh, yeah. All right, cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I thought you were going to try to, or one of you guys was a trick the other. Oh, look, there's a taco shack.
No, we went with full intent of going.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that's what we might do for dinner
so
tonight.
So this county had put in place laws to protect people who are kind of like, side street vending.
Mm-hmm.
And so because that law is open, there's nothing that like local enforcement, no matter who would like have the audacity or like just the rudeness to call and report on them.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Can't do anything about it.
That's good.
Because they, at the start of COVID, they passed a law that like would allow for community catering type things.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
They were really nervous at COVID, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
And they thought like, we might need people to help each other out in this sense. So they're protected. And I was actually going to ask you if you guys have gained weight just from smelling it.
It's
dude,
so good.
Every time I come by the studio, it's phenomenal.
It's so good. Yeah.
And they got it all out
highly
there.
Highly recommend it. They got the Brazilian vertical cut meat shit on
the Al Pastor. Yep.
And they're cutting that shit right off the, it's awesome.
I learned more recently about Al Pastor, the way that it's, I thought that was one chunk of meat. It's a whole bunch of slices stacked up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Shave off the side of it.
I thought it was like a big fucking leg or something.
That's what I thought it was.
The pike?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was too. Not the case.
Oh, that's dedication.
Right?
Shout out the guy. And then they'll slide in
a pineapple between each. Oh, yeah.
So good.
And you never see that, you never see a half-ass effort of that. It's always this fucking big.
Yeah.
You know? But anyways, I'm glad that you tried it, and I'm now going to try it because of what you said.
Yeah, you should totally try it. So good. So that's how I'm going to be spending Cinco de Mayo. Normally, we have, our big parties and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And not this particular year we're doing one for Cinco de Mayo. But, you know.
We're working our way out.
We're getting there. Slowly but surely.
I had said that I was thinking about doing one for my birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, here's something I wanted to talk about.
Oh, hit us with it.
So I don't think I want to do one for my birthday after all. My life's kind of in a spiral of some sort, and I think need to focus on doing one thing instead of as opposed to entertaining the masses as we do.
Ah, preach.
As we do.
Tell me about it.
I feel like the Jake,
you ungrateful motherfuckers.
Yeah, the Jake Paul of podcasting, you know? Anyways.
Horrible analogy, but continue.
But then I thought about this. I go, what if we had who's our biggest baller fan? Not that we know. I'm saying we got listen. I'm just saying I'm going to put out into ether. If you're a baller and you're a fan of Social Nuisance, we'll do something for you.
Fly us out?
No. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
This is us doing it for you. So until you said that, my concept was it would be somewhere here in SoCal.
Presumably.
But
we have a lot of listeners ridiculously all over the world.
There we go.
It still blows my mind.
So if you're a baller ass fan.
Yep.
All right. Say maybe we're a big enough house.
Yep.
That you could safely host people.
Yep.
And I think I'm going to prerequisite a pool and then a built-in grill. I don't want one of those fucking, I don't want you to if you're a baller, you got a grill with a radio and a fridge and maybe a beer. Cow spas, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
You got one of those things. So if you meet these standards and you would like to ball out in front of people.
Yep.
Go ahead and invite me and Imagine.
Yep.
And then we'll host my birthday party at your place.
Oh, I'm with it.
You know what I mean? And you invite whoever the fuck. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
As long as they bring gifts, Cash App, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Vaccinations.
Yeah.
Just hand out the vaxes. Yeah.
I'm two more weeks away from.
Nice.
Yeah. So anyways, baller ass fans.
Yeah.
Please submit to what's
Social Nuisance Podcast at gmail.com.
Social Nuisance the Social Nuisance?
No, just
Social Nuisance Podcast.
Social Nuisance Podcast at
gmail.com. Photos and why we should have my party at your place.
Oh, I'm with it.
And then we'll do the weekend of the 25th or something. I don't know if that's a Saturday or Sunday. That week in that range.
If I had something planned, it's cleared.
It's cleared.
Yeah, I'm there.
All right, baller ass fans.
I know who could definitely top that list now.
Who's that?
Melinda Gates.
Oh, my love.
She's got some free time.
My babe.
I know she's got some free time now. So the world was shocked when Bill Gates and Melinda Gates. Well, Bill, those who don't know, Bill Gates is the guy who came up with Microsoft Windows software. That's your Windows 95, Windows 10. You know, that operating system.
Remember when Windows was just 3.1, before was the year.
I remember when that shit came out on floppy disk.
Yeah.
Yeah. A floppy disk, you need to pop it in and upload it. Yeah, yep. Yeah. It's a thing.
Yeah.
Or was that AOL?
No, that was, that too, but.
Sure. Yeah. Came in the mail.
And then AOL actually came on a CD for a while.
That's 40 right.
40 free hours.
That's right. That was good times.
Yep.
Oh, Windows 95 was my jam.
It's only micro when it's soft, baby.
So they got, unfortunately, they're going to go through a divorce. I think after 30 years, they're just not going to be doing this. So now Melinda Gates will be joining Mackenzie Scott as ex-wives of ridiculously rich men.
Yeah.
So they're both free. Yeah. I hope they listen to the show.
No, wait, who's Mackenzie Scott?
That's the one who divorced Jeff Bezos of
Amazon. She's not free.
She's not free no more?
No, she's with a science teacher, an elementary school or middle school science teacher.
You know what? That seems so appropriate.
Right?
I'm with that.
That dude slid in the DMs as a fucking way underpaid social servant.
Yep.
And now he's on top of the world.
He never has to worry about buying his own school supplies.
So I slid into Melinda's DMs, dude.
Yeah.
And I just want her to know that I think that everything she's done for, the Progress Society is a wonderful thing. And I think that she's gorgeous. She looks amazing for however the fuck old she is. She looks 30. And that maybe, you know, there might be a possibility that, you know, I don't know, maybe I could love her one day. You know, if she came across the right way and, you know, bought the right tacos on the right corner, and maybe there's a chance that
somewhere,
you know,
in Riverside County,
she could get some of this motion, you know.
That's a good way to put it.
And then I would need her to understand that, you know, it's in benefit of her life, not mine.
Right.
You know, because I wouldn't want, I'm not doing this to just get into free billions, bro.
Of course not.
How do you think Oprah and other women who have had to like fight and like claw and bleed to earn their millions and then upwards of like to be those successful women?
Yeah.
And then the two richest women on the planet are just divorcees.
I think that they just need a strong prenup, I guess. I don't know. I mean, they're going to. I don't know the concept of your question. What?
Just to be like, for there to be a woman to like bust their ass, to work really hard, to earn her millions, like Oprah.
Yeah.
And then just to keep getting kicked down this list of like richest women on the planet by divorcees.
I think when you're that fucking rich, I hope that
it shouldn't matter, right?
Care. Yeah, I hope they just don't care.
But maybe that's part of their ego that makes them those people, you know?
I guess.
I would say that I think that Melinda did more for Microsoft and probably, I mean, I don't know their private lives. I just felt like she was always active.
Yeah. I
mean, with their foundation, and then she always worked.
Yeah.
And then the girl who left Bezos, I was just like, I didn't even know Bezos was married.
Who's you?
Yeah, right?
I mean, it's true. They did really great work with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and hopefully they continue with that work and wish them well. Here's the good question, though. Is there any amount of money? There's a dollar amount that you're like...
I remember a game. Go ahead.
I'm good. You ask for a blank check, and they're like, I'll give you a number.
Okay.
Not an over-extravagant number.
Okay.
Just the number where you're like, I'm good for life. This is it.
To be good for
life?
No more,
no less. I'm good.
I think you'd be blown away at how low my number is.
Oh, here we go.
All right, so my number to like never ever, but not generational wealth. We're not talking about
just for you to have a good life
for
your selfish purposes. Not give it away and share it with me because I know you would.
All right,
but just for you.
Uh huh.
Think about it because I'm still thinking about my number because I'm not really sure yet.
I was gonna come out the gate and say 5 million.
Okay.
But then I felt like, fuck, if I could do 4, so it's 4.5 million. I just compromised with myself and lost half a million.
Okay.
But 4.5 million.
You're a horrible wheeler and dealer with yourself.
The worst. Or maybe I'm the best. I don't know.
I talked myself down. Deal.
So I think I could take care of like my siblings and then myself and my son for like, you know, 4.5.
Yeah.
I don't know. Why? Or did you get your number?
I'm thinking. I would say I think a cool million to pay off a house somewhere. And then maybe 100K a year to live comfortably. I don't need much. Well,
that's fair. So So we're in our mid-30s. So
judges do the math. 100K a year.
Another 40. That's another 4 million.
Is it?
So we're about the same, about 5 million.
Okay. 5 million.
Yeah.
Just for extra, just in cases?
No, just, yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, dude. I mean, come on, dude. If there's going to be taco spots around the corner, what the fuck?
Just to handle unknown plumbing issues with the new house you just bought. Yeah, I get it.
I did want to play a game, and I'll just throw the concept at you. We'll play it next episode. That way we could explore the idea.
Got it.
I wanted to play a game where we were going to say, what's your price for, like, some kind of gross things, but not, like, obscene things, like, to eat someone else's booger.
Oh.
Right? Like, I don't know. Just think of some gross things.
You know, it just have to be like really super de duper gross.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to die if I eat someone else's booger.
Yeah, no, it's just gross.
It's just super gross.
Just gross stuff. And then you're going to write your number down, and I was going to write my number down. And then we're going to switch papers and maybe not even say it on the podcast.
Yeah.
But just be like, oh, fuck. Because there's going to be something that's gross that we're so far apart on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So think about that, and maybe that'll be a fun game that we play next time.
Okay, come prepared with the materials
some
for that. Yeah,
okay.
I'm down to play.
All right, cool. That'll be fun.
Hell? Why not?
All right.
Speaking of people,
did we get across to Melinda that I, like, you know, love her?
I think so.
All right, cool. Thanks.
I think she got it. Okay. If she's listening, there's an opportunity to host a social nuisance party.
That's right. She might be our most baller-ass fan.
Melinda. Uh-huh. Or Mackenzie. Bring the science teacher. Bring the class. This is educational programming at its finest.
I'm going to ask you to leave the teacher at home.
It might be in their best interest.
I'm trying to finger blast.
You're not wrong. in regards to another thing that I wanted to talk about this week.
Let's do it.
Jeopardy. Okay. I love Jeopardy. This is just a known fact for people that know me. And just recently it was in the news, not because Alex Trebek unfortunately died and they're trying out different guest hosts, but I want to talk about one of the contestants who recently came under fire for a hand signal, or hand gesture, rather, recently on his appearance on the show and came under fire for it. So are you familiar with the OK white power thing?
I'm familiar with the OK.
And or the connotation of the two?
Yes.
White power,
yes,
okay?
Yes, I am, yes.
So if you hold out like the thumb and index finger making a circle, and then you have number three, and you're making yourself like, okay.
Like an okay, like a...
Yeah, okay.
A-okay.
Now, if you have the three fingers there, that's a W.
Uh-huh.
And then if you flip the zero, uh-huh. O, whatever, zero, upside down, and now the three is downwards,
yeah.
Now you have a letter P.
Yeah.
So they're saying the OK sign is white power.
Well, here's the problem. If you flip it upside down, it's no longer the white.
Yeah, I know. So you have to do the gesture. So it's a whole encompassing thing.
Okay.
From what I understand, you got to flip it. And if you're not flipping it, you're just saying OK.
Uh-huh.
So I don't fucking know. Anyways, Kelly Donahue, he was the recent Jeopardy champion. And on his third appearance, or third win, rather, he was on the show. They're doing introductions, and they're saying, Kelly Donahue, he's a returning champ, and he was flashing the three.
Okay.
He was doing the OK sign to indicate, I've won this motherfucker three times.
All right.
Three-time champion.
Hell yeah.
Bitch.
Get it, Donahue.
Yeah, get it, Kelly Donahue. Like, fuck yeah, be proud of your accomplishments. But again, there's Twitter. And Twitter was like, hey, he's a white guy flashing the white power symbol.
Uh-huh.
He needs to be canceled. He needs to fucking apologize. Jeopardy needs to publicly apologize. Fucking everything has to burn down. Jeopardy has to die. And, you know, Twitter has this huge cancel culture wave up against Jeopardy and Kelly Donahue. Now, the Twitterverse can be very productive in keeping people accountable, speaking truth to power, super engaging and productive in that manner.
Okay.
However, with that great power, again, comes great responsibility. And I think Twitterverse needs to apologize.
Yeah.
Because Kelly Donahue came out and he was like, hey, man, I was just saying.
Three wins.
I'm three wins. Yeah. Like, I have nothing to do with what you guys are talking about. And Jeopardy was like, what the hell's going on? He won three times. What's the big problem? And I think once the explanation came out.
Everybody was like,
They should have, but they were still like, no, it was a white power symbol. They need to apologize. Can we just acknowledge that sometimes cancel culture can get it wrong?
You know what? This exact scenario happened with a celebrity named LeBron James getting it wrong. Mm-hmm. Okay? I don't know if you saw this story.
Might have.
And I'm going to go back to the Jeopardy one.
Yep.
But when right after the Chauvin verdict.
Yep.
There was a police officer somewhere who shot and killed a black female teenager.
Oh, with a knife?
Yes.
Yeah, that one.
That was stabbing a girl.
Yep.
Before the video came out, LeBron had already tweeted, this, you know, cop needs to be held accountable.
Yeah.
When the video came out that she saved a young lady's life, he deleted his tweet.
Mm-hmm.
That's not being accountable. You were incorrect. You should have been accountable and said, hey, my bad, got it wrong. Just like everybody else, you could even do that. You could whitewash it. Just like everybody else, I thought it was another case of police brutality.
Sure.
Turns out she was a superhero, you know, saved someone's life.
Yeah.
And got it wrong. I was wrong. I'm sorry. My apologies go out to this person.
Yeah.
And that doesn't exist in the internet because it doesn't have to.
Yeah.
Because you can just delete when you fucked up.
Yeah, for us plebes, yeah, we can just delete stuff and hopefully they'll never find it. But if you're fucking LeBron James, you have to be very conscientious before you hit the post button. Like,
or
you got to be super.
Or
on
you
it.
Don't have to be, and then you just delete it, and then you don't be accountable.
Yeah,
like you declared other people should be, and just keep going on.
Mm.
Which is exactly what took place. So, and then here I want to do the other thing. Now that we go back to the Jeopardy, if he meant white power. Why are you giving power to this notion? Why are you giving power to this emblem? Why are you acknowledging? Like, if he did that and we all said, like, oh, that's nothing, it would literally be nothing.
Yeah.
But once you sit there and, like, just point it out, highlight it, and then share it a million times, what's going on here is you're just doing this for your own clout. You want to be the first person to discover something fucked up and announce it to the world, and then hope that you get followers from it or you get momentum to do whatever the fuck you think you're doing. But you were wrong, and now you're not going to be held accountable or be accountable because it's fake. It's really fake. But at the end of the day, you the results of how you affect this person's life are pretty severe.
Agreed. I'm not. I don't think I agree with the seeking fame portion of calling people out. I think people generally want to call people out and speak truth to power, and I think Twitter is a wonderful platform to do that. But if you're going to provide some type of social commentary, whether you're a celebrity, millions of followers, or just not,
someone on Twitter,
you have to be able to be self-accountable to the things that you post.
Yes.
If someone calls you out and say, hey, you're wrong, and you are wrong, you have to admit that, yeah, okay, yeah, I fucked up. My bad. I super apologize. But if you're not, then you're just a fucking troll.
Right.
So if LeBron James, I remember this instance where he did post and then he deleted it back. I don't want to speak on the story because I understand where
we're not
from.
Talking about the story.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Twitterverse.
Yeah, but I want to make it clear that I don't agree with your perspective on that. But on the Twitterverse side, LeBron James, if you're going to comment on the public, if you're going to comment on social issues, social justice, you're just as human as anyone else, and you can get it wrong. Mm-hmm. And A, you have to admit when you're wrong, and then B, you have to be responsible for your bad judgment.
And I'm kind of even saying
the price
like,
for it.
I'm not even saying that you really need to admit when you're wrong. But if your claim is that other people need to be accountable, and then you immediately act otherwise,
yeah,
we don't got to hear you anymore.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like that's like giving bad medical advice.
Yeah, I mean there's definitely some levels of hypocrisy in
you
that.
You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
So I'm not saying that like you shouldn't have a stance or anything. It's just that if your stance is exactly contrary to what you're expecting other people's stance to be.
Yeah.
We got to cut you off at your shins.
You're losing points. You're definitely losing points. I mean, he did amazing things with
a ball.
Not just the ball, but you know, the social commentary issues, getting people to vote, getting people registered.
What about when he backed off with China though?
Well, again, so if you're going to be commenting on social issues and trying to make a stand, you got to be all in.
Yeah, cuz he was saying Black Lives Matter. But Hong Kong, no.
Yeah, so he's playing by the NBA rules. I totally get where you're coming from. But that doesn't – he's walking a fine line of doing great things. But at the same time, if you're going to be called out for your hypocritical acts, you better speak for him. Oh. Otherwise, your opinion has become null and void.
I just read briefly into this story, and I would love to pick your brain about it. It's kind of a flash in the face of Americans – about how the world perceives things. Did you see that the Olympics banned Black Lives Matter apparel, and any athlete who kneels or doesn't—I don't want to say disrespects because I don't think kneeling is disrespects—but doesn't stand appropriately for any anthem will be banned for life from any future Olympic events.
Let me ponder on that one for a quick second, because a lot of these social justice issues are
home. This is our garden.
They're American based.
Yes.
However, the Olympics are not America.
No, it's an international podium.
International competition, international
platform.
Invitations, platforms, different perspectives, opinions, cultures, so on and so forth. So I think pushing forward with a narrative of everyone, we're just here to do sports. Let's all agree on that.
Yeah.
And let's compete
as
such. I can understand that. Again, going back to the social media thing, like the employee and the employer agree before going into the situation. But at the same time, it is a world stage, and a lot of things require a world stage to be upended because of it. Pros and cons. I think there's a lot to dissect there, and I'm not going to be on a definitive side either way, because there's a lot to unpack.
So you know, my stream of consciousness go right now. My brain is like, it's like I tagged a big fish and I'm trying to pull it in, but it's like whining, 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 whining.
Yeah.
I was reading this interview of a prisoner of war. I don't want to say specifically Al Qaeda, but it was one of those wars. So might have been Saudi Arabia, you know, somewhere in the region. Middle East.
Yep.
And the guy was told that the prisoner of war was told, you know what your problem is? You guys watch too much Star Wars.
Oh, and, you know, fuck that guy.
No, and so the prisoner of war, the American prisoner of war goes, what do you mean we watch too much Star Wars? And he goes, you guys think you're Luke Skywalker. You're Darth Vader. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You guys are the ones here. You're the imperialists.
Yep.
We're the ones trying to be free.
Yeah.
So now, with that in mind, do you think that maybe the world doesn't perceive us in our social justice movements as healthy as we do? Maybe they think that all this American idealism is bad for the world. And I'm not saying Black Lives Matter specifically.
Yeah,
I'm
saying
in general, like, are we la toxica?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And and the Olympics are trying to say, hey, dude, you guys really just need to shut the fuck up right now. And, like, you're lucky to be... Remember, Russia got banned from the Olympics because of steroids or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, they didn't say any other social... They didn't say Hong Kong. They didn't say anything about any other country.
Yeah.
And maybe they will. Maybe things will fall in suit leading up to the Olympics. But as far as it goes is right now, it's Americans who need to shut the fuck up and go play sports. And,
well, the other thing,
and what does that say about our ideals, you know, or what we're thinking?
I think with the Olympics, though, I think the other thing, too, is that Olympics is still a business. It's still a big business. There's still a lot of money. And to enter politics or social awareness issues, you mess up the money because not everyone is on the same page with social awareness, politics, and blah, blah, blah. So it's just easy. If we just keep it sports, then you're not going to mess up the money.
And it was always supposed to be.
It was always supposed to be sports, but not because of the money. It's supposed to be sports because of humankind and just being able to compete and use that as an illustrator towards how we can come together and participate in an activity together. So I totally get that perspective. But as far as American idealism, yeah, absolutely. You have the American idealist like myself who believes in the traits of what makes America great. But I fully understand that we don't walk the walk for the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And when we do, it's a lot of pomp and circumstance. And it's very peculiar as to what issues we get involved with, what areas we get involved with, because there's bullshit all over the world.
Oh, of course.
But we're only selecting the locations that'll be beneficial to us. So what does that say?
Well, I mean, it's like that with all reporting, all information we get. Like, I was talking to a friend of mine that's a pretty high-ranking officer, and he was saying that he's getting frustrated with the media reporting, like, you know, the random Asian attacks.
Yeah.
As if those are the only random attacks. He goes, one Asian lady can get randomly attacked. But there was 19 random attacks last night.
Yeah.
And really, if you could report on the fact that there's these fucking rash of random attacks going on.
Yeah.
You know, to all races, but they're like on this stop Asian hate thing right now. Like, that's the only time it's happening.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, I would, as a cop, I would love for the world to know that there's like a group of people going out randomly attacking people, but they're only reporting the one Asian one because that's the momentum of, you know, the press.
I would appreciate the context. Yeah, you're totally right. If there is an influx of just random attacks, but the media is only reporting the unfortunate Asian attacks, then yeah, because that lends to the hype of what's going on right now. But I would appreciate if they're like, oh yeah, we're seeing an influx in Asian American attacks. In comparison to the overall random attacks, and when we're looking at all the data, yes, there is an exponential rise in Asian American attacks versus those random attacks. Yeah. There's an influx, but there's an especially prominent influx in Asian American. Providing that context, I think, would alleviate that question of like, oh, the media is just talking about what they want to talk about, to drive ratings or whatever the fuck.
And then, so back to the Olympic thing, one of the things that I had in mind is like, what is offhand one of the most iconic Olympic like photos, snapshots, memories.
I know exactly what you're getting at.
What is it?
Yeah, the raised the black glove fists on the podium.
So is that what they're trying to stop? That's exactly how I felt too.
Like, that's exactly what they're trying to stop.
Like, that's to me one of the most iconic Olympic images of all time.
Yeah, and they would rather have peace, love, mankind.
But how much did that image shoot forth?
Yeah,
you know, civil rights in America. Like,
exactly how impactful, how important was that photo to the movement and to those who wanted,
who needed it?
Yeah, who needed that platform to make that awareness. And I think that's what people made that comparison with Colin Kaepernick between the Olympics and that photo versus Kaepernick taking a knee.
And I'm not that familiar with Olympic outfits or uniforms. I don't know that they're allowed sponsors or not. I'm pretty sure you could see like a Nike emblem, a Reebok, but I don't know that to say that to be entirely true. But I would be rather upset if someone wasn't allowed to have a BLM embroidered, you know, say on the shoulder.
Yeah.
As opposed to where there's a Nike embroidery that we know is slave labor, you know, in China.
Yeah, you're totally right. I think there is a fine line between you are entering this competition as a representative of the United States and you're going to portray a participant accordingly, being in uniform, being in unison with the rest of your team and how your country is being portrayed. But at the same time, where's the individuality of the athlete who wants to bring a little bit of awareness?
How cool would it be if it's like, if you medal in the Olympics, you are an extreme fucking athlete in your field. You've worked beyond like what anybody could imagine.
Yeah, a lifetime. Yeah.
Give them 2 minutes to be whatever they want. Say, okay, you can't have this apparel. You can't, you know, act a certain way during an anthem. But we give you 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, 6 minutes a sport, 6 minutes a medaling ceremony.
Yeah, I think it should be a trade-off. You know, you have the athletes who work their entire lives. They put in the work to be the best that they can be.
They earn that camera time.
Yeah, absolutely. At the same time, the Olympics are providing them a platform to illustrate how awesome.
What if you get some alt-right super athlete?
Yeah.
That fucking, you know, goes in, like, I'm exploring the thought as I'm thinking it.
Yeah, you have a Nazi salute instead of the black fist. Yeah, totally. I understand that, and I think that's where it's a double-edged sword. But I think American idealism is a double-edged sword. We've talked this countless of times where what if you have a hate, the Nazi symbolism is something that's easily so understood. So if you have a Nazi next door, what do you do without them raising their Nazi flag on their front lawn? You know, American idealism allows them to do just that. But as a country, we have to be more educated, more responsible, more tolerant and compassionate with each other, that we drown out that kind of horse shit.
Yeah.
But in the interest of fairness, where America, you can be who you want to be, even if that's an asshole, you have the right to be an asshole.
You know what's crazy? You know, I wrote it. I literally wrote this exact sentence the other day, and it kind of ties into this conversation. Not that I would ever be a medalist at the Olympics, but I wrote,
we just got to find the right sport.
Drinking. I wrote, if you ever want to see controversy, just give me an audience.
If you want to see, that's a good one.
Right?
That is a good one. That is so simple and so profound. I love it.
I like it too.
I'm jealous because I wish I could relate, but you know, there's special.
You could. You have
I think so.
You have a future.
I think you're right on that. Okay, I'll take it back. You're right. Give me an audience and I'll give you controversy. That's true.
Pause it real quick.
Yep.
Okay, cool. So. Sorry. Are you rolling still?
Yeah, I'll just remove it. It's easier.
Oh, okay.
So where did you come up with that? Like where were you in deep thought where it just popped in your head and you're like, oh, that's a good one?
So I think so much, man. And like if I read you the thoughts that I had before that and after that, and a lot of times I go, I have so much written for the show.
Yeah.
And then we sit down and I open up my notepad and I go, oh, I'm not gonna say that. I'm not gonna say that. That doesn't even make sense to me. You know what I mean? Like, but that was one of the things. It's just that like if you want to see controversy, like just give me an audience. Like I will say what I need to say to get under the skin of whoever I want to get under the skin of, just to explore, you know, how itchy they could get.
But I wonder if that is a troll mannerism or characteristic.
It could be, but I'm not into like, well, I don't know. Cause I've always, I read this when I was at a young age and it kind of stuck to me, was that like, I'm not selling bread. I'm selling yeast.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not here to satiate you. I'm here to aggravate.
Yeah.
So but I'm also not trolling you to upset you. I might be trolling you to, like, expand you.
Yeah. It reminds me of when Kobe died, and we discussed that comedian that Ari had that post. Uh-huh. And he
wishes
off,
that no one would talk about it again, but let's do it.
I'm a hey, you said it. Mm-hmm. If you say if,
no, what, he actually doesn't. It? He still stands by it. He's just,
if you sent it, you meant it. And yep. Like, I for you to post something that you know is going to intentionally upset people, I want to know why. And there's two reasons. There's your reason where I want to aggravate you to cause you to think.
Or to grow. To bake.
But whatever it may be, it caused you to react in a way that is towards some type of growth.
Yeah.
Whereas there are trolls who, like in The Dark Knight was mentioned, some people just want to watch the world burn.
Yeah.
And they just want to get a rise out of people because they feel that because they were able to get a rise out of someone, they have some type of superiority complex that they're trying to make up for.
You know, Marilyn Manson made this like movie along with one of his albums. And it was super weird. Of course, it was Marilyn Manson. But there's a line that stuck with me that, In that line, he said, everything in the world has already been built.
Yep.
The only beautiful thing we could do now is find different ways to take it apart. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel like that's in line with what I meant when, like, I'm here to aggravate. Like, some of these people come in so confident because they live in their algorithm with the world that they live in and in their bubble, you know, in their echo chamber.
Yep.
That I can find beauty in like, oh, you believe in your whole cornerstone to your belief system is this one weird thing. And then, like, if I say it to you the right way, you can even go, like, it is kind of silly. And then that's, like, the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah, and now, it starts to
get And I don't apart. Want you to unravel your life. What I want you to do is, like, accept other people's belief systems.
Yeah.
When I grew up with a gay uncle where people told me that being gay was, a choice.
Yeah.
I go, why the fuck would someone choose to be like outcasted and did this and as time went on, obviously we found out like, no, it's not a choice. People are born gay and born not gay.
Yeah.
And then like it became gay became an addict.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, why the fuck would that addict go do that drug? And it's like, yeah, you're right. That's the right question. Why would they do that? Obviously it's not their fucking choice.
Yeah.
Like, why would someone do that? So it's just like, I don't know what the next level is gonna be, but I'm constantly like trying to pose or in place, just like a little computer virus, just put in your head like, hey, maybe you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah. I enjoy doing the same thing. I always want to plant a seed.
Exactly.
I'm not here to put in the tree. I'm not here to chop down your tree. I'm just here to plant an additional seed of thought.
Exactly.
And if it takes off and grows, fantastic, but you did the growing.
Yeah.
You watered it, you treated it, and so on and so forth. I just gave the seed.
And when I write these things, I'm in a mood.
Take my seed.
And I just kind of think of like lines, you know? Like, so the next one I wrote
was, okay, let's get controversial.
All right. I'm kinetic. I run on friction. So if you want conflict, I'm going to get excited. Just plug me in. I'm kinetic. Like everything I do is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
so you thrive on friction.
Yes.
So people are like, they're not, they don't want to, what's the word? Conflict.
Conflict. They don't want no conflict.
They want, they're not conflicting. Uh-huh. God damn. Non-confrontational.
Non-confrontational.
Found the word, motherfucker.
Okay, did you see me else pour beer into the other beer? Yeah. Just my mouth?
Yeah, why not?
I was going to drink it anyways.
Non-confrontational. And I think some people are just not ready
to
have uncomfortable discussions.
Yes.
Whereas I think someone like you and I were like, pull up a chair, bitch.
Yeah.
Well, like, let's do this.
So, all right. So this, let's, again, we're on one of emotions fucking tangents now.
Pull up your lap bar.
This came from me having, being somewhere with my brother and my father, and someone acted like they can't do their job.
Yeah.
And so I created conflict.
Yeah.
And my brother immediately reacted with apprehension. He's like, yo, you don't got to do that. You don't got to do this. And I called the guy. So what it was a bartender pretending he couldn't change the TV screen.
Yeah.
I said, you're incompetent. This is your bar. You should be able to control that TV screen. Really, what it was is he was lazy.
Yeah.
He didn't want to do the work.
Yeah.
So I go, you're incompetent. This is, again, we're on track. My brother goes, you have to call him competent because I'm creating friction.
Yep.
But I'm looking him in the eyes and I got this. Yeah. I know this.
I know where this is going.
Yeah. I told my brother, like, you can shut the fuck up for a second. Like, I'm in charge here. I got this. And he goes, well, you don't got to do it. And now my brother's creating friction between me and him.
Yeah.
Not meaning to. He means to not create friction between me and... But I'm like, yo, dude, if I call this dude a bitch, he's going to go up there and fix the fucking TV. And the reason we need a TV fix is to make our dad happy. And I guess it's win-win. Dad's happy. This dude's not lazy. You didn't need to put any more intention on me. So then
at the cost of collective friction
exactly.
that you've created.
So then the word incompetent started to trickle into my head, right?
Yeah.
And I decided that one of my biggest pet peeves in the world is incompetent people. If you're incompetent, you just can't, for whatever reason, whether it's laziness or ignorance, you can't get the job done. You can't complete the task.
Yeah.
You're incompetent. I decided as recently as this weekend to flip that from being an annoyance to something I'm grateful for.
Yeah.
Because incompetence is a reason that I can walk into any field and make a living.
Makes sense.
Because there's incompetent people everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm competent.
Yeah.
So whatever the fuck it is that you're falling short at, I can go in there, do the math, figure it out, find the rhythm, and be pretty successful at what you're not going to be successful at. So I decided, in this, you were asking me about these notes. These are how these notes go.
If you Here we go.
When I die, you actually need to be the one to go through my notes. I'm going to leave you my password.
Okay, cool. Good to know.
So I end up trying to, I'm in this place where I want to make good of all things that I hate. And if it's making it fall to my own, then that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Like, but with the incompetence alone is I appreciate incompetence because it's why I can excel in literally anything I feel like doing.
So in a nutshell, everyone who sucks, thanks for sucking.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, even in a thinner, inside that nutshell, that shitty bartender made me a better person to me 2 months later, a month later.
That makes sense.
Right?
That's a good way.
Were you able to follow that?
I was.
Thanks, man.
It was a hell of a ride.
Sorry, listeners.
I had a good time.
You want to know what I wrote down right before that?
Yeah.
We're way more than 30 in, right?
We're way more 30 in, yeah.
All right. You know what? At this point in my relationship, I feel like everything I do is just for her and the next dude.
How generous of you, I think.
Right?
I think at this point, it's like, man, you're such a giver.
Sometimes when I like paint something or build something, I go, oh, this is just the next dude's going to enjoy this.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, that's, I'm telling you, dude, I go on these thoughts. I went on a similar thought process with Derek Chauvin.
Yep.
And we don't need to revisit it. But what it was if you're an agent of the state, you agree to put people away no longer based on your moral composition.
Yeah.
You decide that legislation makes the laws.
Yep.
And like if you find somebody carrying a gun, whether or not they did anything with that gun, they go to prison.
Sure.
I don't agree with that.
Okay.
If you find somebody with drugs, they go to prison. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with that. So if you're trying to tell me as an agent of the state, like Derek Chauvin is,
yep,
you're now in prison and you don't belong there, I don't give a fuck.
let me put this lightly. I don't care.
Couldn't care less, bro. You've been putting people away in my eyes that don't deserve to go to prison.
Yeah.
For decades.
Yeah.
So now you don't deserve to go to prison?
With joy and like braggadocious.
Smallest violin.
Yeah.
Couldn't care less.
I could not find a smaller violin.
Couldn't care less, bro. Like, that's like the dude who like bangs everybody's girl.
Yeah.
And then one day someone bangs his girl.
And he's upset about it.
Just shut up. You know? Like,
yeah.
Couldn't care less, bro.
Yeah. That makes sense.
That one was super fucking... That one went wild, too. Like, in my notepad, but...
Nice.
Scrolling
through motions notes. What do you
got? Yeah, sorry. Oh, all right. So, kind of going back to the...
I was giving you a theme song. Go ahead.
Thanks. The Olympics thing. I noticed... and maybe I only noticed it in one particular situation. I don't even remember why I wrote this down. But I feel like the people who yell defund the police,
yeah,
is kind of the same batch of people who want to police other people. Like they're the ones saying, you can't say this, you can't say that.
I disagree because I say defund the police.
Yeah, but you don't, not just you. And I wish I remember why I wrote that down.
Okay, cool.
But obviously now you share a podcast with me and you let me say whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
But there is a batch of people and I kind of, oh fuck, now I remember.
I think the defund the police people are really the grammar police.
See?
Yeah.
Don't police people. You just said stop policing.
Okay, you're right.
So you agree with me.
I am a grammar Nazi. Yeah. I will totally correct you.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, man. You're and you're. Get it fucking right. Come on. Yeah.
There's.
Yep.
There.
Yep.
There's. You know? No, I'm with you.
Yeah.
But you know what? When
you're not wrong.
When I do fuck up, unlike LeBron, I take accountability.
Yes. I think that's been a huge growth thing for me, both personally, professionally. And, you know, it feels good to take that weight off your shoulders of like trying to cover your tracks. Like, oh, I didn't mess up. It wasn't me. Just go, yeah, you know what? Yeah, no, I fucked up. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I've told this story in this podcast
before. Be a good human. Just be like, man, I fucked up.
I remember in high school, like, I think we were freshmen, me and my best friend. And we were total fucking class clowns. And like the cool guy, like the 11th grader, he like tripped and stumbled just walking, like dropped his books and everything.
Yeah.
And we got, he was like so perturbed.
Yeah. Fucked up is cool for the rest of the day. I was
like, dude, that guy's cool as fucked up.
Yeah.
He's broke. He's got to come back tomorrow and hope we don't remember him dropping his books.
Yep.
It's like, no, dude, like let's make our cool the anti-cool.
Yeah.
I'm
totally fine with being uncool. I've accepted my uncool. And I think my acceptance of uncool has made me so independent and unique and refreshing that it becomes cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that why we're cool?
Haven't we seen this generation, like the nerds take over? Like all of a sudden it's like the cool thing to be a nerd. When we were kids, we got bullied for that shit.
I was kind of upset when like dorkiness became cool. Yeah. I was like, wait, fuck y'all. I'm authentic.
Yeah.
I was the real uncool.
We were legitimately
never
dweebs.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't fuck with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, we turn out Snatch.
Yeah.
Don't
fuck with it.
How much time we got?
We got time. Continue.
I would love to pose kind of a deep like
thing. Oh, let's get deep.
Are you down?
I'm working on the theme song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A year later.
All right.
It's been a year, guys. Fuck off.
Can I work on my baritone for it?
Yep.
I don't know.
Cool.
All right, I wrote this, and then if you don't understand why I wrote it, let me know.
Cool.
But I think you can. I'm tired of letting my life control my writing. It's about time I'm going to let my writing control my life.
I saw when you posted that,
okay.
And I totally agree with the first part.
Okay.
I'm tired of letting my life control my writing.
Yeah.
There was a lot of times in my music I would hold back. Because I knew that my inner circle was going to listen to the music,
okay.
Whether it be my family, my girlfriend at the time, or
just whatever.
My employer, anybody, somebody's going to listen to my music and they go, that's a line. And it controlled my creativity and it stifled my creativity. And now that I'm still battling that. And now that I'm letting go of it, I feel a little bit more released. So it's time for my writing to control my life. Expound on that one because I might need a little more help on that one.
Well, here, so I love that you totally changed it, or it meant something different to you than what it meant to me. You didn't change anything.
Sweet.
Because what it meant to me was, I'm tired of writing bad poems. I'm tired of writing about being depressed. I'm tired of writing about being upset, being taken advantage of. I'm just going to write better poems.
Okay.
I'm going to write about positivity and life. And hopefully that artistic energy will start to flush out the negativity of my real life and inspire better things. So
that makes sense.
That's what that post was. That post was, I'm tired of writing angry, you know, disturbing, depressed things. I'm just going to write the better things. And then maybe that will
infiltrate
my life.
That makes sense. And I try to do the exact same thing. When I'm going through difficult things, I try to write hopeful things. I try to write happy things or things that help me fight the bad things. And it does. It really does change the perspective, and it helps me move forward.
Yeah.
So, yeah, super supportive of that.
Yeah, effort. I'm on the verge of a, you know, slight traumatic experience.
Yeah.
And the person I'm going to go through with was, like, obnoxiously excited about it. And I just go, I got to adopt your perspective. And what the perspective was, like, just find the better things. And so that's what I started to do. So I started to, like, swing in and go, you know, it's going to be more time with my son. So I start writing things that I would love to do with my son and places I would like to take him and experience. My yin yang is shifting.
I spent too much in the yang. I got to hang out in the yang.
That's it. Yep. Yang gang, baby.
Yang gang.
Yang for mayor.
for New York mayor. Hey, you got any you know whats?
I don't know. You got one?
I'll go with mine.
All right,
my only one while you're looking for yours.
Okay.
Hey, you know what?
What's that, my man?
I've accepted that my Tums are just adult Flintstone vitamins.
Are they?
And I'm fucking with it. I'm not fucking mad at it at all, man. Like, cause sometimes, like, I'm getting some of that was indigestion or whatever the fuck in my chest, and I was like, so I go get some fucking Tums, and I pop one in, and I'm like, oh, this, and the taste, it's so sweet and it's chewable, and it instantly harkens back to Flintstone vitamins. I'm like, this is the adult version of a Flintstone vitamin, and I'm just as excited to have one. So I'm not even fucking apologizing for my enthusiasm for Tums. Fucking digestion, though. But continue.
I love it. You know what?
What?
I got the best doctor's advice I've ever got in my life.
You've gotten the best doctor's advice?
Yeah.
What's that?
Right before I got the vax, the lady said, look, you're going to have to drink more of whatever you drink. Whether you drink water, juice, soda, I don't care. But once I give you this vax, you got to, like, take in way more fluids.
Uh-oh. She didn't know you very well.
Couple hours later, I was at the bar like, doctor's orders!
Little did she know.
And I thought I had a series of you-know-whats, but we kind of broke them down into the let's get deeps and just throughout the day, and we talked about them, man.
Hey, motions and notes. That was just a fun segment. Let's just go through your notes.
We totally could.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Oh, my God. That's a reflection of your face. I thought that was a person staring in through the window. I almost shit bricks. I almost lost it right now.
Who the fuck is that? Oh, man.
Break it down.
Time for some tacos. As always, want to thank you all for joining us here in Pound Town. But before we go, want to remind you, subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help the show grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, drop a dollar in the Venmo at Social Nuisance. And lastly, don't forget there's power in numbers, and together we can be a nuisance towards the betterment of humanity. My name is Imagine, and that's the Main Man Motion, and we'll see y'all next week on the Social Nuisance Podcast.
Love y'all.
Hey, I had the outro.
Yay, yay.
Fucking good episode.
Cinco de Mayo exists because there was this Mexican kid who was abducted by La Llorona, and he escaped from her clutches of evil.
Good for him.
Thanks.